The revelation of Jesus Christ. How beautiful. How beautiful. I praise God for his wonderful mysteries. Great is the mystery of godliness. And Paul said, I'm made a steward of the mysteries. The Spirit of God searcheth out the things of God, yea, the deep things. And Paul said, I pray that God will give you understanding in all things, that your eyes, the eyes of your understanding be enlightened, that you may be able to comprehend the heights, the depths, and the widths. Now, what we're trying to do is comprehend the heights, the depths, and the width. The heights, the depths, and the width. Comprehend the heights, the depths, and the width. And you say, well, how broad is it? A writer said, if wrote a song one time and said, if every stalk on earth was a quill, the skies were the heavens of parchment made, if all the oceans was filled with ink, you couldn't write the love of God. So it's pretty broad. You say, how could I ever comprehend anything like that, Brother Pike? Through the mind of Christ. He that knoweth all things, I have the mind of Christ. How many of you have the mind of Christ? I have the mind of Christ. Now you say, you're pretty confident. I'm pretty confident. I have the mind of Christ. You know why? Because I'm not an unbeliever. The Bible said, let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. Then Paul waxed bold and said, ye have the minds of Christ. I believe what the Lord said. I'm a believer. He said, I had the mind of Christ, so I've got the mind of Christ. Now, if I have the mind of Christ, then Jesus said, all that my Father has made known unto me, I've made known unto you. And God made known unto him all things. Because the Scripture said, ye have an unction from the Holy One that ye should know all things. Therefore, I know all things. I have an unction from the Holy One. I have the mind of Christ, and all that it knew, then I know also. I thank God for that. Wonderful, the wonderful world of God. The wonderful world of God. It's fascinating to me. I've spent my life, since I've come to know Jesus, I've spent my entire life in the wonderful world of God. Always being on a great journey. An enthusiastic journey of adventure. Ever adventuring out into the unknown every day. Day by day, I lay on my bed this morning, a little late getting up, and while I was laying there, my heart and my spirit began to venture out into the unknown. I began to explore the unknown, always venturing out into the unknown. Years ago, they had scouts, and those scouts went out ahead to blaze the trail for the people. A lot of danger among the Indians and among the savages, but they continued on and they blazed a trail. They learned to live in the wilderness. They learned how to protect themselves. And I've learned to go out and blaze the trail for Jesus. It's dangerous out there where we go, but I'll tell you what, it's a beautiful, beautiful place. And if you're just willing to go out there, the Bible said men hazarded their lives for the name of Jesus Christ. And if you're just willing to get out of this old world of slumber and out of this old world of care, out of this old world of feuding and fussing and do like the airplane does, get way up above the clouds up there where there's no turmoil, then you'll have smooth sailing. All the paths of God are peace. All the paths of God are peace. Not some of them. The reason you're having it rough, the Bible said, woe unto the backslider. Woe unto the backslider. Revelation said, one woe cometh and then another. The Bible said the way of the transgressor is hard. The reason you're having a hard time is because you're a transgressor. If you wouldn't transgress God's ways and God's laws and God's words, you wouldn't have a hard time. Because all the paths of God are peace. A lot of people say, well, Brother Pike, I feel like I'm doing my best. You could not be doing your best and be having the problems that you're having. It would break the Scriptures. All of the paths of God are peace, and you're not having peace. Therefore, you're not in the path of God. Not only that, but you're having problems with the devil. And the Bible said, if your ways please God, he maketh even thine enemies to be at peace with you. And the devil's your enemy. There's something wrong, folks. Something's wrong. Now, that's why that I don't understand when I preach to you, tell you the word, and you look at me like you wonder why that I'm abusing you, accusing you, or saying something to you. The Bible said, lift up your voice like a trumpet, show my people of their sins, the house of Jacob, their transgressions. They delight in approaching unto me as one that did my will. And wherefore we fasted, say, then thou takest no knowledge. And the Bible said, in the day of your fast, you learn to smite with the fist. You fast for debate, strife, to grow bigger than your brother, that you might out-wrestle or reason your brother. Instead of, as this day, to make your voice to be heard on high. Our whole purpose in praying, fasting, seeking God, studying, ought not to be to get puffed up or to get bigger, but to get favor with God that he can hear us and we can hear him. That when we pray, he'll say, here am I. Hallelujah. Find favor with God. That's the approach we ought to have unto God. God's wonderful, isn't he? He might not be wonderful to you, but he's wonderful to me. He means everything to me. He's wonderful to me. We sang the song, wonderful, wonderful Jesus is to me. Counselor, Prince of Peace, mighty God is he. Wonderful Jesus, wonderful Jesus. Praise God. I'm going to read a familiar scripture that we've read so many times. But I read it quite often and I go back and I pick up a new thought or a new avenue. And how many of you know there's quite a few avenues on the in the house of God? A lot of streets in glory. You can go down Hallelujah Avenue, or you can just back up and go down another avenue. A lot of avenues in glory. A lot of God avenues. So we might take a different avenue through the city tonight as we explore the great riches of God. The book of Revelation in the 11th chapter, if you've got your Bibles, you can read a little with us. And there was given me a reed like unto a rod, and the angel stood saying, rise and measure the temple of God and the altar and them that worship therein, but the court which is without the temple leave out. Measure it not, for it is given unto the Gentiles. And the holy city shall they tread underfoot 42 months. And I will give power unto my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,260 days, clothed in sackcloth. These are the two olive trees and the two candlesticks standing before the God of the earth. And if any man will hurt them, fire proceedeth out of their mouth and devoureth their enemies. And if any man will hurt them, he must in this manner be killed. These have power to shut heaven, that it rain not in the days of their prophecy, and have power over waters to turn them to blood, and to smite the earth with all plagues as often as they will. And when they shall have finished their testimony, the beast that ascendeth out of the bottomless pit shall make war against them, and shall overcome them, and kill them. And their dead bodies shall lie in the street of the great city, which spiritually is called Sodom and Egypt, where also our Lord was crucified. And they of the people and kindreds and tongues and nations shall see their dead bodies 3.5 days, and shall not suffer their dead bodies to be put in graves. And they that dwell upon the earth shall rejoice over them and make merry, and shall send gifts one to another, because these two prophets tormented them that dwell on the earth. And after 3.5 days, the Spirit of life from God entered into them, and they stood upon their feet, and great fear fell upon them which saw them. And they heard a great voice from heaven saying unto them, come up hither. And they ascended up to heaven in the cloud, and their enemies beheld them. And the same hour was there a great earthquake, and the 10th part of the city fell, and in the earthquake were slain of men 7,000, and the remnant were affrighted and gave glory to the God of heaven. The second woe is past, and behold, the third woe cometh quickly. And the 7th angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. And the 24 elders which sat before God on their seats fell upon their faces and worshiped God, saying, we give thanks, O Lord God Almighty, which art and wast and art to come, because thou hast taken to thee thy great power and hast reigned, And the nations were angry, and thy wrath is come, and the time of the dead, that they should be judged, and that thou shouldest give reward unto thy servants the prophets, and to the saints, and them that fear thy name, small and great, and shouldest destroy them which destroy the earth. And the temple of God was open in heaven, and there was seen in his temple the ark of his testament, and there were lightnings and voices and thunderings and an earthquake and great hail. Most of you know that following the scripture reading here of Revelation 11, that immediately John saw the great wonder in heaven, which of course was the woman standing on the moon. Most of our people are familiar with a great deal of these things. We've talked for months concerning these things, and though you might have already understood, I don't know. But for them that did not understand these things until we did teach or until they heard it taught, then many of you understand more the book of Revelation after the many sermons and teachings that we've had trying to break it down to you. Now, in the book of Revelation, in the 11th chapter, notice again, I bring this back to your remembrance, that here in the 11th chapter, the angel of God is speaking of the two prophets. Now, first of all, the trumpet sounded, and then came the intervention between the second and the third woe. Between the sixth and the seventh trumpet, there came a divine intervention, and when it came, the voice held back the sounding of the last trumpet. It held it back for a season, and it expounded in between the sixth and the seventh trumpet. The time that lapsed in between there, it took time to expound some things to John and to point out that God was going to send two prophets into the world. You follow me? In sending the two prophets into the world, that they were going to be with Israel during the tribulation period. Approximately 3.5 years. Now, when we think of the tribulation period, we think of 7 years. And it's often referred to as the time of Jacob's trouble. But actually, the tribulation itself is 3.5 years as far as the regime of Antichrist. You might say, where do you get that, Brother Pike? If you'll notice here in the 11th chapter, after reading this to you, if you'll notice that immediately following the 11th chapter, that John looks up into the heavens, and there he sees the woman on the moon. During this period of time, the Bible tells us that the power of Satan is overthrown, that Lucifer is excommunicated from heaven, and Lucifer goes out of heaven into the earth, and Lucifer personifies himself in the image of a man. Is that right? When the personification comes in the earth, then Satan doesn't have any more power in heaven. That's the end of it. His power is over in the heavenlies. How do you know that Satan has had power in the heavenlies? The Bible said he's the prince of the powers of the air. He just does the weather like he wants to. He sends tornadoes, earthquakes. He just takes big ships and rocks them just like a baby's cradle. Sends cancer. He makes people bow down to him and serve him because of diseases and fears, money powers, and because of prisons and all these things. Fear of the electric chair. You follow me? Satan hath power. But at Revelation 12, immediately when the man-child goes up, Lucifer goes out, and then the proclamation comes that the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of the church, our Christ. Is that right? So then he is excommunicated from heaven. He can no more be the invisible power that has hid from the eyes of human understanding and He can no more be the invisible power that has dominated mankind, but he is cast out of the heavens and has to take on a personification, and you can walk up and see the devil just like a man. Immediately, Satan has to do something. Knowing that he doesn't have any more power in heaven, he immediately has to get to work, get all of his subjects together, and start setting up a worldly dominion or a kingdom or a government in the earth to provide for himself or to protect himself for a period of 3.5 years. Whereas the Bible said Satan being kicked out of heaven, he knoweth that he hath but a short time. And he'll go about like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. He knows that he hath but a short time, which is 3.5 years. So then he personifies himself, and he immediately gets busy and gets control of all the kings of the earth. Because he has no more heavenly power. He has to start an earthly dominion, an earthly kingdom. And he has to personify himself, and he has to become a man. And thus doing it, he has lost the power of the heavenlies, and God declares that the heavens is at last clean. Or that the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our God, because the kingdoms of this world are not ruled from within a human being. They are ruled from the powers of the heavenly. And just as soon as Satan is cast out of heaven, then God redeems all the kingdoms of the world. And though Satan sets himself up in a personification to war with God, yet he doesn't have the strength to prevail anymore. When he's cast down into hell, into the bottomless pit, the Bible said they shall narrowly look upon him and say, "Are you the one that turned the world into a wilderness? Are you the one that made kings to tremble and nations to shake? Have you altogether become as one of us, weak and contemptible? Are you the one that caused all of this? Are you the one that refused to open the doors to your prisoners? And yet you become as one of us," they will say. God will cast him out, and he'll be weak, contemptible. He won't have any power. That's a wonderful thought, isn't it? When he gets cast out of heaven, then the Bible said, "Rejoice." Now, I want you to see this. He doesn't say, "Rejoice ye that dwell in the earth," does he? But he said, "Rejoice ye that dwell in heaven. For the accuser of your brethren is cast out." Out of what? Out of heaven. But he said, "Woe to the inhabitants of the earth. You that never did make it into the heavenly places, you that never did get into the translation of the mind of Christ," he said, "woe to you." That's why some of you are having trouble. "Woe unto the backslider." You've never got out of your carnal mind, and the devil's being cast out of heaven, and he's looking for somebody that's carnal minded, and he's wrecking your world. He's tearing it to pieces. Why? I warned you. I told you. God told you over and over. God told you. He's still trying to tell you. "Woe to the inhabitants of the carnal mind. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth, for Satan is among you. And he goeth about like a roaring lion, looking for somebody to devour." The carnal mind is enmity with God. "But rejoice ye that dwell in heaven, for the accuser of the brethren is cast out." And then what does he say? He said, "Now is come power." Now you have power, church. He says to the sons of God, "Now you've matured. Now you come to the time appointed of the Father. You've come to the time of adoption, of sonship. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth. But blessed are those that are dwelling in the heavenly places. For now has come strength. Now has come power. All of a sudden the super strength will come to you." Why? Because the Bible said, "Though Satan shall wear the saints of God out, yet all of a sudden there shall be a super strength. And the saints shall rally, rise up, and take the kingdom and possess it forever and forever." Now has come strength. Now has come power. You say, why is that? Because you won't be double-minded anymore. Won't be wavering anymore. There won't be the middle wall of partition between you to hinder you anymore. But all of a sudden you'll become gods. God will be with you and you'll be with God. And you'll be one. And whatever you say will come to pass. Be no hindrance. Satan will be gone out of the way. For the Bible said, he that hindereth, God will let him work until he that is going to do away with him comes. The great light of his coming shall dissolve the evil darkness of satanic forces. For he shall destroy him with the brightness of the revelation. The mind of Christ shall make him as nothing. The Bible said, when the Ancient of Days sits upon the throne, and when the Ancient of Days appears, even the mountains melt away into nothing. Even the earth, all the trees and everything fade away into nothing. Is that right? What a wonderful thought. I'm glad I'm a Christian, ain't you? I'm glad I'm a Christian. I'm glad that I met God one day and got a hold of the Holy Spirit. I'm glad tonight I'm partakers of the divine nature of Jesus. Hallelujah. I'm glad. I said, I'm not making believe, and I'm glad because I got it. Somebody said, well, how do I know? I don't know whether you know or not, but it doesn't make any difference whether you know or not. I still got it. I got it. And while you're trying to figure me out and while you're wondering, I'll just go right on into heaven. I'm changing dimensions. I'm changing from glory to glory. I'm moving from glory to glory. I'm on a journey to another country. I've come out of Egypt. I've moved into a heavenly place. I've translated from glory to glory, from dimension to dimension, and I've moved into a great state of celestial world. Hallelujah. What a thought. I'm glad I met God. God is a spirit. And just to fellowship, God changes you, translates you. It changes your visage. It changes your image. It changes everything about you. You find yourself emerging into a oneness with God. As you enter into God, God changes you. God changes you. What a thought. All right, so then in the 12th chapter, we see Satan excommunicated. Being cast out of heaven, we see that he has to personify himself. Then the church takes on a great power. We are on the verge of doing that now. Takes on a great power and a great personage of God. It begins to come into the redemption of the body. And the power that is appointed to the sons of God cannot be properly utilized until the outer body or the members outside are completely yielded to the Spirit. Now, I've got power inside of me. I've got the power of God on the inside of me. I've got enough power in me to speak a world into existence. But if I have the full blessings and the benefits of the power of the Spirit that's on the inside of me, I have to yield my outer faculties to the inner power of God. I've got to let the inner mind of Jesus swallow up my outer members until it's not me that's living, but it's Christ that's living. And I've got to turn this outer man that has had a beast visage, I've got to change it into the mind of God and into the image of God by the divine spirit of the inner man. Then there's power. When Jesus went into the wilderness, he returned in the power of the Spirit. That is, when he came back, this body was so filled with virtue that the virtues of God just literally streamed out of his body. If anybody got close to him and began to believe, he'd say, I feel virtue going out of my body. Why? Because that is the power of the Spirit. Somebody would say, but Brother Pike, he had never redeemed the body. But can you deny the fact that when he stood on the Mount of Transfiguration and was transfigured before the people that he had mastered the body? Can anybody deny that? Can you deny the fact that as he stood up there on the Mount of Transfiguration, that before every one of them, Jesus appeared in glory with Moses and Elijah? Here we find him in the 11th chapter, speaking again of these two personages. And as he speaks of them, he said, and I will give power unto my two servants. It is obvious that the man that's doing the talking, that intervened between the sixth and the seventh trumpet, was the Lord Jesus himself. Because he's using the terms, I will give power unto my two prophets. Is that right?
them that are not two prophets that belong to some angel. They're not two prophets that belong to somebody else. He said, but my two prophets. So then the messenger of the covenant coming forth, Jesus the Christ, stepping forth saying, I will give power. And then he told him, he said, measure the temple. And don't forget, the Bible said the measurements of the angels is that of a man. Is that right? All right, now what is the measurements of the man? This is the measurements here. This is the rules of God right here by which you measure a person. Is that right? So he said, measure the altar, measure the temple. But he said, the courts that are without, leave them out. Is that right? That is, go preach the gospel. Preach the gospel, he said, to the Gentiles. That is the temple of God. How many of you know that the Gentiles are the temple of God when they're born again? Go measure the temple. Preach the gospel. See if they measure up to the rules of God. Measure the temple and measure the altar on the inside. For Paul said we have better altars than those of the beast. That is the beast of the world. For we have the inner altars of God. Is that right? Measure the altar. See what measure of spirit that's within a man. For God giveth the spirit unto them by measure. Is that right? But he said, the outer courts which are without, leave them out and don't measure them. What is that? The Jews. Now he said, don't try to preach to the Jews or to measure the Jews by the gospel, because I blinded the Jews in part, and the Jews are cut off out yonder, and they're in darkness and without knowledge, and they don't understand what you're saying. Therefore you can't judge them. You can't measure them like you can the temple. Leave them alone. He said, and leave the outer courts to be trampled under feet of the Gentiles until the reign of the Gentile world is over. And then I'll return to Israel. I'll return to the Jews. And in that day the Lord shall measure the outer courts. Is that right? So he said to John, he said, don't bother to measure the outer courts. Won't do any good. They're in ignorance. They're in darkness. Paul said, oh, the greatness of the knowledge of God. How great is the wisdom of God. Seeing that God has concluded all in unbelief and put the Jews out in darkness and without knowledge, that he might have mercy upon them in that day. Not having any knowledge, he don't have to destroy them. For the Bible said, where there's no understanding of the law, there's no transgression of sin. Not giving them any understanding of God. Therefore, they cannot transgress, and God can have mercy on them. And having mercy on them, he brings them in the latter times after that he finishes dealing with the Gentiles. That's a wonderful thing. So then measured, he said, and then I'll give power to my two prophets, and they'll prophesy 3.5 years. So then what is the tribulation period? It is 3.5 years. For a time's time and a half of time. Is that right? For 42 months. He said, and these shall prophesy, and the people that hear them preach will literally hate them. For the Bible said, as it is written, they have hated me without a cause. I believe it was yesterday. Somebody was telling me how that different ones hated me. How that even up at the varsity of some place back up here at the Dairy Queen, that they pulled up to get a milkshake or a sandwich, and some fellow about half drunk, some of your relatives, pulled up and was criticizing me and what I was doing. Spoke evil of me. And the Lord said to me, he said, son, as it is written, they have hated me without a cause. If they've hated you, they'll hate me. If they've loved you, they'll love me. If they receive you, they've received me. If they don't receive you, he said, I've rejected them too. They've not received me. Is that right? That's why I say I believe if you don't hear what I say, you'll die and go to hell. When this last trumpet sounds, it is obvious it has to do with the middle of the week. That's why that I do not agree with Brother Branham's followers and what they teach about it. As far as I'm concerned, they're wrong. They just don't understand. Good people, but they just don't understand. Because it is obvious that this trumpet is sounding, and when this trumpet sounds, it is immediately that the woman is seen, that Satan is cast out of heaven, and the man-child goes up into heaven, and it is obvious that this is the middle of the week. Which means that when that last trumpet sounds, the Bible said, then a voice said, now the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our God. For Lucifer is cast out of heaven, and then he personifies himself. Now then, if that is the last trumpet, the way they teach, then that means that that would have been the middle of the week. Is that right? Whereas it could not have possibly been the middle of the week, because we are already more years on this side of it than the entire 7 years of the tribulation period. Is that right? It couldn't be. But there is an answer, and there is a right answer to it. Now, when the woman with her feet on the moon, when this woman was seen with her feet on the moon, she was in great travail. It doesn't say how long she'd been like that. It doesn't say how long she'd been standing there. It just said that she was standing on the moon and she was in great travail, ready to bring forth a man child. And the man child was to be such great, outstanding character that he was to rule the entire world with a rod of iron. Is that right? Wherefore, we are on the verge of seeing an individual rise up that shall be so stern that he shall rule the world with a rod of iron. Now look, didn't I say that everything has to have a parallel? Is that right? God does nothing in the spirit unless he gives us a natural type. Is that right? Now look how beautiful these things run together. Revelation 12, where's the man child? All of a sudden, here's the man child in heaven. Is that right? All right, what has to take place? There has to be somebody in the earth that is going to do the very same thing that the one in heaven is doing. And that one on earth has to be the devil. It has to be the personification of Satan. Is that right? So then when Satan is cast out, he becomes a great personage, a personification in the earth, and he rules the world with a rod of iron. He takes over the world and forces everybody to come under the mark of the beast. Is that right? At the same time, it's only typical of the fact that Jesus has taken over in heaven, and that the sons of God, which is the membership of the body, have been translated into another world, and they've come into power, for now has come power. The membership, the body, the strength. Now has come power, for the sons of God will receive the authority, and it will denote that the adoption or the redemption of the body, which is sonship, has come to pass. There has to be a type in the earth. When will this be? When the last trumpet sounds. At the sounding of the last trumpet, the mysteries of God shall be finished. And when the mysteries of God are finished, then all of a sudden you'll see there will be a great change in the earth. And I'm glad tonight that I know what that change will be. I'm glad tonight I know how that change will take place. I'm glad tonight I know the people that God's going to use for the change. And I'm glad I know the time of that change. I'm glad tonight. You say, how do you know that you know? I'm watching the signs of the time. The Bible, one time Jesus called them a bunch of hypocrites. He said, you can discern the signs of the weather He said, if the sky's red and lowering in the morning, he said, it's going to be foul weather. Said, but if it gets red over the evening, he said, it's going to be fair weather. He said, you hypocrite. He said, you can discern the face of the sky, but said you can't discern the signs of the time. But I'm glad we're not hypocrites. We can discern the signs of the time. Said, you're not children of darkness, but of light. You'll know when that day's near. You'll know when that day's near. I can tell that it's nigh, even at the door, Jerry. It's near. So then, a great personage of Satan takes place in the earth. And all of a sudden, the man-child is caught up, which means the redemption of the body and the sons of the membership of the church has at last come into a great power, into a great authority, into a great perfection when it's at the finishing of the mysteries. When the last trumpet sounds and the mysteries is finished, how can we know that the last trumpet is sound? How are we going to know when it really sounds? Because when it finished sounding, then you're going to see Satan present himself. Somebody was saying, Brother Pike, how am I going to know? Somebody said this was the last trumpet and that was the last trumpet. Another was going to be the last trumpet. All these going to be the last trumpet. Like Dennis said, how many last trumps are there going to be? But my brother, you'll know. There won't be no mistaking it. Because in that last trumpet sound, Satan will personify himself in the earth and take on the personage of a man. Then when he takes on the personage of a man, then the Bible said that the redemption of the body will be at hand. You say, how do you know that that's the redemption of the body? Because everything has to have a natural parallel. And the Bible said at that very season, now the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our God. And when the natural kingdoms of the world becomes the kingdoms of God, it means that the physical part, which is the natural part of the body, the natural part of the man, it means that it has been redeemed. When God redeems the earth, it means the Jews have come in, and when the Jews come in, it means that the body has been accepted without spot, without wrinkle, without blemish. Now then, when can the body come into such a condition? There is only one way that the body can come into that kind of condition, and that is for the mysteries of God to be finished. When the mysteries are thoroughly completed, there will come forth an intelligence, an understanding, a superseding knowledge that will excel anything that the colleges can afford. And when it comes forth, it will produce a faith. And that faith will be translating faith. When this knowledge comes forth at the sounding of the last trump, then it'll produce a faith. For when the trumpet finishes sounding, it means that the knowledge is finished. When the knowledge is finished, it means the faith is here. The faith that was once delivered unto the saints of God. Which, of course, is the same faith that Enoch had. How do you believe that? The same faith that Enoch had, that's what we have. Contend for the faith. That faith cannot be made manifest until we become acquainted with the same thing Enoch become acquainted with. What will bring this translating faith? Only one thing. Somebody said fasting? Absolutely not. Praying? Absolutely not. Giving to God? No. Going to church? No. Learning? No. Only one thing can bring it. What is that? The mind of Christ. Because there's only one thing that has the faith of Christ, that's the mind of Christ. My mind has my faith, but Christ's mind has God's faith because it's God's mind. So then if my understanding, my thinking can produce a believing that will cause me to get up and go to work, cause me to get up and dig a ditch, cause me to get up and wash my faith, how much more will Christ's believing or knowledge bring on a faith that will cause me to rise up from the dead and be translated? It is true. When can this happen? At the sounding of the last trump. Not until. Now, where do you get that, Brother Pike? Because it says at the sounding of the last trump, the mysteries of God would be finished. Somebody would say, well, what's the mysteries of God got to do with the faith? Somebody would say, I don't see what the mysteries of God's got to do with it. If I got salvation, if I'm a Christian, that's enough. If you got salvation, if you're a Christian, that's enough for you to be a Christian. But that's not enough to translate your body. There is a spiritual mystery of God that has to come forth, and Paul said, I'm a steward of that mystery. He said in his day it was out of date. He couldn't do it. Now, as one born too soon or out of season, but in our day, it is the same message that Paul had. Somebody would say, well, Brother Pike, you don't believe that this is the same thing that Paul had. It's got to be the same thing that Paul had. Paul said, I am the apostle to the Gentile church. There couldn't be anything else. It's got to be exactly what Paul had. It's got to be the mystery. I show you a mystery will be translated, he said. So then, at the sounding of the last trump, there was to come forth a divine mystery. And the mystery was to be the translation of the church, bypassing the grave. When was that to be? At the finishing of the mystery. Paul couldn't finish it in his day. He only started. But Brother Pike has a chance to finish it in his day. Paul started, but we can finish it. Somebody said, well, Brother Branham finished it. Well, I sure have learned a lot of things since he went off the scene. I never did hear him say, and nobody else had ever heard him. There must have been some things that he didn't tell us if he knew about it. Somebody said, well, I know about all them things. Well, you've been a long time with me, and you never told me. Praise the Lord. So you just ain't met the right feller. I've traveled over land and sea. I've talked to the leaders of the Brother Branham following the very best. I've talked to them among Brother Roberts. I've been in Brother Roberts' meeting, Brother Allen's meeting, Brother Branham's meeting. I've been around the country. Praise God. Say, Brother Pike, you think you know everything. Not everything, all things. So then God has let us comprehend the heights, the depths, and the width. Why does God want us to do that? Because the only way the church can be translated is to comprehend the heights, the depths, and the width. That's why I say that people running around trying to get spiritual gifts is foolish. We're not trying to get spiritual gifts. Paul said the gifts are in the church. We're supposed to have them. Covet a gift. It's hard to desire one. But he said, rather that you might prophesy so people can get a knowledge. What we're trying to get is the revelation of Christ. That we can be translated. God didn't ordain that a bunch of people get gifts in the earth. What does God want people to have gifts for? God wants us to have the mind of Christ. And the gifts are automatically in the mind of Christ. He's trying to get the mind of Christ in us. He only used the gifts to draw the people to put the mind of Christ in them. The reason Jesus worked miracles was to get the attention of the people so that he could give them the God mind that he had. It so pleased God with the actions of Jesus Christ that every person should be molded in his image and his likeness. If I had tons of gifts, that wouldn't mean nothing. Paul said, if you have faith, you move a mountain. You don't have charity, said you didn't make it. If you have discernment, if you understand everything, that still don't mean nothing unless you have got the mind of God. Got to have the Spirit of Christ, which the Bible calls charity. Why charity? Because charity edifies. That means it revelates. A lot of knowledge, said you're just puffed up. Paul said, you have all knowledge, understand all mysteries. He'll die and go to hell. He said you could preach. How many believe Solomon understood mysteries? Sure, Solomon used the terms over there. He said, wisdom findeth out witty inventions. Is that right? But that's still not knowing the revelation of Christ. Wisdom don't find out the revelation of Christ. I don't care how much wisdom you got. You can go to college from now on. You're not going to find the revelation of Christ. I have not seen, ear have not heard, neither have it entered into the heart of man at any time the things God has prepared for them that love Him. But He's made it a revelation or revealed it unto us by His Spirit. Is that right? So then, having all the wisdom you want to, that won't do it. You got to get the revelation of Jesus Christ. That's the only way. How can you get it? God has hid it from the eyes of the wise. What is that? Wisdom. From the eyes of the prudent. Is that right? But He's made it revelations to babes such as would learn. He'd revealed it to us by His Spirit. So then we see a great thing taking place. You should have a gift. You should covet a gift. You should desire a gift. The Holy Ghost is a gift. What greater gift could you have than eternal life? The gift of the Spirit of the church, that's good. But we want something greater than that. I do. I don't know about you. I do. Somebody say, Brother Pike, there's nothing greater that you could get than the gifts. All right? If that's true, then why did Jesus ordain 70 people? And all 70 of them went out and worked miracles and cast out devils. And when Jesus brought the revelation of Christ, they couldn't receive it. The Bible said when Jesus spoke to them and said, eat my flesh and drink my blood, they said, it's a hard saying. We can't receive it. The Bible said the words He spoke to them were spirit. Is that right? It was the mysteries of God. They couldn't receive it. Is that right? Peter raised the dead. Is that right? Peter walked on the water. But when Paul came along, Peter said, he said things that's hard to be understood. Is that right? Paul never tried to major in miracles, but he tried to major in the revelation of Christ. Somebody would say, well, why do you esteem that so much greater than a miracle? All right, by a miracle, what can you do? You can heal a body, open a blind eye. Is that right? But by the revelation of Jesus Christ, what can you do? Translate yourself that you should not see death, which is the greater miracle. Somebody says, well, I can take a miracle and translate myself. It's never been done. It never will be done. There ain't never been a gift. There's never been a power given in the body in the way of gifts that can translate yourself. It can't be done. Ain't but one thing that can translate you, and that's the mind of Christ. And there has never been any miracle that was ever worked that's equal to the power to translate yourself. Never. All right, so then what are we after? We're after the revelation of Jesus Christ. That's what we're after. So then He said, I'll give power to my two prophets, two witnesses. These men shall prophesy 3.5 years. Is that right? While they're prophesying, the Bible said that the people will literally hate them. They'll hate them. Said because their preaching will torment them that dwell on the earth. It'll be torturous to them. It'll torment them. You know why it's going to torment them? Because it's going to be just like it was in the days of Stephen's and John when they said, you wicked, sinful generation, you rejected Jesus Christ. And now the Lord has raised Him up and made you rule, and the same Christ that you've rejected, that you said couldn't be the head over you, has become the cornerstone. And the nations are angry, the Bible said, and the kings are going to be angry. And the prophet's going to say to the kings, you had a chance to hear the gospel. You had a chance to break your stubborn spirit. You had a chance to bow down, but you refused to do it. And now we're here to tell you that the kingdoms of this world belong to our God, and God's going to cast you into the fire. And the Bible says it'll literally torment them that dwell on the earth. So much they'll rise up and kill them like they did Stephen's, and then send gifts one to another, making merry. I got a feeling that unless God undertakes, if this is the season, some of you people that listen to my voice is going to be some of them people that hate them prophets. That's going to rise up and stone them prophets to death to find fault with them. Because your spirits show me that you're part of that people. Your spirits witness and testify against the Christ that's on the inside of my heart. You find fault with me. And you're constantly against me. And it's a positive proof that you're going to be part of those people that's going to rise up against the prophets of that hour. My two prophets, my two witnesses, I will give power to them. And the Bible said they'll have power to smite the earth at their very will. Anything they want to do, they can do it. They can call down fire from heaven. They can smite the earth with plagues. They can stop the waters of heaven. They'll have complete power and authority to do anything in the earth that they want to do. That's going to be some more day, folks. You say, who is that? Moses and Elijah. Somebody say, a make-believe? No make-believe about it. It's going to be genuine Moses and Elijah. God's got them preserved. He's got them hid away. They're not dead. He's got them hid away over here somewhere in the spirit. And at the very hour that the last trumpet sounds and the mysteries of God are finished, these two witnesses are going to step out on the scene, and that's going to be it. Somebody said, well, I'll know when they come. You sure will. You won't be no mistaking them. Somebody said, well, they could be here and you might not know nothing about it. No, don't worry about that. They won't be here and you not know nothing about it. When they're here, you'll know all about it. You'll know all about it. You say, how will I know? Because the Bible said they're going to call down fire from heaven, turn the waters to blood. They're going to really tear your hide up with the power and the judgments of God. You'll know about it. When Moses went down in Egypt to deliver the children of Israel, they knew there was a prophet in the land. When Elijah came over there, they knew there was a prophet in the land. Is that right? When he sent that little servant over there, told Naaman, said, you go over yonder to the king over in Israel. Let him heal you. The old king about rent his clothes and just got all tore up, said, who do you think I am, God? And the prophet said, send him down here to me. Somebody said, he was sure boastful, wasn't he? He sure was. He said, send him down here to me so he'll know that there's a prophet in the land. Is that what he said? Said, tell him to come over. So he'll know there's a prophet in the land. Somebody said, I think he's done got haughty and high-minded. God might not let him be a prophet. Ain't that silly? A man born to be a prophet, and because you get vainly puffed up in your fleshly mind, you don't think he percolates the way you think he ought to percolate, so you're going to dethrone him. You don't mess with God's prophets like that. Them men are born to be prophets in the world. You don't make them and you don't get rid of them. When those two prophets come in the world, all the world will rise up against them. It isn't going to faze them. Somebody said, well, if they act up too much and try to make everybody think they're a prophet, God won't have them. I just like a Japanese saying because he told somebody he was a Japanese, he'll never be a Japanese again. Ain't that something? He could scream, I'm a Japanese, I'm a Japanese, I'm a Japanese, I'm a Japanese, and he'd always be a Japanese. That prophet could holler from the time he's born in the world, if he's able to do it, until the day he went out that I'm a prophet, I'm a prophet, I'm a prophet, he'd always be a prophet. Ain't nothing can change that because he's a prophet. You love the Lord? So then, I will send my two witnesses. And what will it be? I just want to dwell on this little thought here. What will it be? 3.5 years. Now, why do you say 3.5 years? Because if it is the middle of the week, then Daniel's last week was 7 years. How many of you agree that's right? And the Bible said that Messiah shall be cut off in the middle of the week. Are you listening? How are you listening? When shall Messiah be cut off? If he is, it will indicate a complete rejection that God will no longer deal with the Gentile people because they've cut him off, they've rejected him, and God will take the church out. The membership of the body. For the salt of the earth is the church. When the church is gone, then the meat will spoil. Is that right? All right, now, 3.5 years. That means that when the woman had her feet on the moon and the man child was born, that was the middle of the week, And at that time, the last trumpet was giving forth its sound. And if it was giving forth its sound, that meant that the mysteries of God was finished. And when the mysteries of God was finished, it meant that the church automatically was translated because the man-child went up into heaven. Now, how many of you agree that the woman's got her feet on the moon? Have you agreed that the man-child has been caught up into heaven? What is heaven? It's the spirit, the mind of Christ. Is that right? Is that right? Have you agreed that Satan is being cast out of the spirit? Wish we had a lot of time on this, but I'm going to say a few more words here in close. I just want to cover this little passage of Scripture here concerning the 3.5 years. All right, now, that means that we automatically know and understand that 3.5 years is to be the period that the two prophets will prophesy, and that during the 3.5 years, it will be Moses and it will be Elijah. And during the 3.5 years, their message will torment them that dwell on the earth. And that from the time that this last trumpet sounds, that the kingdoms of this world will have become the kingdoms of our God. That is, the saints will have come into their inheritance, rose up and took the kingdom. That's why the voice said, now has come time to reward the prophets and the saints. Now has come the time. What is the reward of the prophets? What is the reward of the saints? Paul said, we groan within ourselves, waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God, waiting for the redemption, waiting to wit the redemption of our body. For it is the purchased possession. What is my gift from God? Eternal life. What is my reward? It's the inheritance, which is the purchased possession of the body. For the creature itself shall be changed into the glorious liberties of God, or the children of God. That is, taken out of the bondage of the elements of the world. Even the very creature, even the very body shall be changed. Is that right? So then, 3.5 years from the time the woman had her feet on the moon. How do you remember that I made the statement that this very year Antichrist would start showing himself? I wonder if anybody's put anything together in the last 10 or 15 sermons. Have you constituted anything according to godliness in your mind? He that was called the King of the Nations, did he start rising up? When we said that Brother Delma would take the field this year, did Brother Terrell say that he was through with the United States? Did he do it? Had Brother Delmer taken over like we said we saw him doing the vision at Cedar View? And did the church get straightened out like we said it would when they said it wouldn't? Did he name it Christ to the Nations? That is to say, that Christ to the world? In other words, everything is moving just right. I said everything would go down like this. Is that right? Now, wouldn't I be some kind of a fool, or wouldn't I have been some kind of a fool if I'd have been guessing, talking about that which was to come? And yet, in the face of every bit of it, I said it will go down like this for just a little season and come right back up. Did it do it? How many banks was they built during that time? Right up here in this area. Five of them? About five of them built. In other words, it had to do just exactly that, to shake the world up. That thing swept all across the world and everybody lost their strength. Everybody got weak. Even the great leaders got shaken. And then we said that it would work around that Onesimus, is that his name? Aristotle. That his money would fall into the hands of Jackie Kennedy, and that it would be turned toward the presidency. Is that right? And it'll bring in the healing of the wound. And the typical thing that's happened, Brother Branham saw the woman in power. And I said that has to do with Jackie Kennedy. We was discussing it the other day. It doesn't matter who goes into the White House. Solomon said, he that is borrowed is debtor to the lender. Is that right? If a woman's money is behind the thing, the woman's got the power in the room. Is that right? I understand that already. She's trying to get her money behind Kennedy and get him to run for president. Is that right? Wouldn't surprise me at any time if his wife come up missing, or if there was a separation. You can't ever tell what might take place. Jack is determined to have him. That Kennedy name has prestige for the presidency. Is that right? And she's been the first lady. But having money's not enough. She wants that prestige and that name of first lady. And she'll never rest until she makes a drive for it. I said that a long time ago. Jezebel and Ahab. Everything is shaping up the way God showed it. I wonder if you're shaping up the way God showed you to shape up. You are. The rain coming on the just and the unjust, whether you be a briar or whether you be wheat. How many of you know that when the rain falls, the latter rain of God comes down? We sang the song, Nations Are Breaking, Israel Awakening, the time of a latter rain. How many of you know that when the latter rain comes to Israel, that her crops will begin to bring forth fruit? And how many of you know that that is a type of the church, that when that latter rain begins to fall, that whatever you are in your spirit, whether you are briar or whether you're wheat, you'll start producing your harvest. That's why some of you are getting so cantankerous. I said, that's why some of you are getting so hard to get along with. Some of you are getting so worldly minded. Some of you are getting so out of sorts. Some of you wanting to do your own thing. Some of you wanting to go your own way. Because the latter rain's beginning to fall. It's bringing out what's in you. It's bringing out what's in you. That briar drinks up that water and comes right out. And when you first see them little old leaves come, it looks like a good harvest. But just give it a little while, and the first news you know, it's that old briar. Every time you get close to it, it pricks you in your heart. Is that right? You can't gather grape from bramble bushes, can you? You don't get good water from a bad fountain, do you? So then, 3.5 years, which is the tribulation period, which is the reign of the Antichrist, which is the mark of the beast, setting in Revelation 13, immediately after that, the child comes into power. For the very minute that the man child is born, he is caught up to the throne. Who is the man child? It is the membership of the church. But who is the natural power in the earth of the man child? Israel. Who will become the head of the nations? Israel. Is that right? You say, but Brother Pike, that can't work like that. You said that the man that's going to be the head of the power on the earth will be Antichrist. He will. He's going to deceive Israel. He's going to make Israel think that he's really the Christ that's come back, really the chief leader, really the one that's concerned about them. But they're going to find out. They're going to find out. He'll do that in the first part of the week, coming in with flattery. But the Bible said he'll break that covenant in the midst of the week. Is that right? Then they're going to see, and that's when he's going to try to make them take the mark of the beast. And that's when they're going to reject it. That's when the two prophets will take them and begin to minister the gospel to them. Is that right? God will take them with the wings of an eagle into a place in the wilderness, prepared. How many remember the vision where this great, these two women caught up the ephod and took it to the land of Shinar? How many remember that? There to find a place for it. How do you know that goes back to Babylon? Had the wind in their wings.
Let's everybody stand together. A lot of things I'd like to say tonight. But I believe you understand clearly that this is the middle of the week in Revelation 12. And that trumpet, that there's somebody has got something off key when they talk about the mysteries of God being finished. I feel the Holy Ghost, don't you? I feel Him. Something is really taking place, folks. Something is really taking place. Something great and mighty is taking place in the earth. What is it? The finishing of the mysteries of God. Somebody say, how do I know when they're finished? There won't be any way to keep from knowing. I can solemnly promise you that there won't be any way that you will fail to know. Somebody said, I'm afraid I won't know, Brother Pike. I won't recognize. There won't be no way for you to keep from it. You'll know. You'll know. Something is happening and something is taking place. The faith that was once delivered to the saints of God will build up in the saints' hearts. How many believe you've been changed from glory to glory? How many believe that God hath translated us into the marvelous kingdom of our God? We're ahead with Christ in God, whom the heavens have received. The heavens have received who? The man child. For as soon as he was born, he was caught up to the throne. But what is the manifestation to wit the redemption of Calvary? Revelation 11, when the last trumpet sounds. Then we'll know what happened at Calvary. The manifestation of what took place will show then. Oh, there's so much to say. So much to say. Jesus said, why do questions arise in your heart? Why do thoughts come up in your heart? And I feel so many thoughts come up saying, but what about this? I just wished I had time to keep going into it. What a wonderful hour. What a wonderful day. I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful. It's later than you think. It's later than you think. He's closer than a brother. My Jesus is to me. He's my dearest friend. He's everything I need. Oh, He's my rock, my shield, my hiding place. Closer than a brother, Jesus is to me. Oh, He's closer than a brother. My Jesus is to me. He's my dearest friend.